Howdy, folks, and welcome to the April 18th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the bee to the plan.
He's saying, hey, yo, 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 where my biatches at? Where are they at?
La Riva La Raza.
Yeah.
Peel my potato.
Yeah. Toss my salad, peel my potato, ese. Oddly enough, though, right around the time we're recording this show, WWE Network is debuting Legends House. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to watch that shit later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the WWE Network, though. I mean, I know a lot of people like it's kind of over now because it's been out for about 2 months, you know, and a lot of people are talking about it, but it's just convenient because if there's something you want to watch, hey, whenever you want to watch it, it's fucking there, you know.
It's over the top.
It is. As far as, hey, let me tell you this, though, man, like a lot of the other. Huh?
Huh?
you interrupted me there. I was about to tell a story.
Oh, well, that's why.
But, yeah, I mean, I just like the fact that anything you want, like if you're 15 minutes getting home late or something like that, hey, you can watch the fucking thing from the beginning, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's an awesome feature, and I just don't understand how they're doing that. Some of they're doing like live shows, and you can just like start it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I don't do it a lot. I usually just watch it, you know, the next day or something, I catch up on NXT.
Yeah, I'm still watching the Ultimate Warrior the first night. I started watching that last night, and I saw where they had Sting on there, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that's his first WWE appearance, apparently.
Here's what I think they're going to do with Sting, though, honestly. I don't think he's going to have a match. I think he's going to be one of those guys. They'll probably induct him in the Hall of Fame next year, and he'll probably have a big DVD set coming out around that time as well. And they might have some sort of, you know, he might be the new Raw GM or something like that. I can't see, I just can't see any match with anybody, especially now with Undertaker. You know, he got beat with the WrestleMania streak, you know, that's no longer there. I don't see anything else that he could do. Like, so I'm saying he's not going to have a match.
I'm not going to say that, but I think that he's going to probably take up the ambassador thing that the Ultimate Warrior is going to be doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he'll be doing something along those lines. I don't know who you would put him with in a big WrestleMania match that people, like, aside from Undertaker, I think is done. I don't think he's...
I don't know. I don't know if he's done, but that, I just, you know, I don't know what to think of it.
Yeah. But anyway, tonight's show, we got some news to talk about briefly, and then we're just going to get right into the phone calls. It's going to be all fan pit episode. The fans will get the chance to make whatever the episode, we'll talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. So it should be a fun show.
For the fans, by the fans.
That was our old mantra, if you will.
Yeah, before y'all went corporate.
Yeah, before we sold our souls to rock and roll. But we do have some news to get to and some interesting stuff, actually. You know, we haven't heard a whole lot about this Friday the 13th reboot. It's another one. It's another reboot.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be hitting next year. But, you know, rumor is that the VHS director, David Bruckner, is the studio's top choice and is now negotiating to take the job for the 13th Friday the 13th film, which is slated to be released on March the 13th, 2015. What do you think of that, Steve?
I don't know. I'm kind of sad.
You're kind of sad. Why? You just don't think we don't need a reboot?
I don't think we need any kind of reintroduction to the character. It should just be, by now, it's just like, don't we know it's going to happen?
Yeah.
You could do a damn recap in 5 minutes, and you'd be right in the movie, and I don't think anybody would be freaking lost.
I know. I mean, it's like, it's a Jason movie. Jason just stalks and fucking kills people, you know? There's not a big storyline there. There's nothing to... And I honestly think they could do a sequel. Why couldn't they? Why not? Why couldn't you do a sequel to that 2009 Friday the 13th film? Why not?
I think that they probably thought that they just waited too long. And I mean, even though, you know,
they did
four
wait
years,
too long.
Five, they didn't?
They did wait too long. That movie made so much money, man. They could have come out with a new Friday the 13th film every fucking year. And I've been saying this for years. You know, a Friday the 13th film, you don't need $50 million to make a Friday the 13th film. You know, give it to an independent filmmaker and David Bruckner. That's a good choice, you know, to me, because the independent filmmaker had a successful film with VHS.
Well, here's the thing.
But you've got to do it quick, do low budget, you don't know anybody in this movie. Quit bringing fucking people in there that you know. You know, these motherfucker from Supernatural and shit. Nobody cares.
Just don't do the found footage gimmick. Just let it be just a regular thing. Regular entry. All the stuff that we know and we can complain about that it's no different than part 4 or 5. Yeah. Anything like that would be fine.
Yeah. So we will see. Like I said, do it. Low budget. Friday the 13th, hey, you know, I think you could make a successful franchise out of just $3 or $4 million film, get a bunch of independent actors that don't have a whole lot of experience. I think that you would reignite that style of filmmaking, and I think that Paramount, man, I mean, hell, those movies are going to make money. If you've got Jason in it, you've got some hot girls that are going to get naked and get killed. That's all you need. Like, you don't need, like I was saying, motherfucker from Supernatural. Fans of Supernatural, are they going to really give that big of a shit about a slasher film anyway? You know, go for an unknown people. You know, Jason himself sells the movie. You don't need anybody else.
Right.
So anyway.
Well, here, let me get some news in. Did you see the trailer for Green Inferno?
Not yet, no. I have not seen that.
It looked pretty cool. It didn't really show a whole lot, but you can definitely see where they're going for.
That's what you call a teaser, Steve.
That's correct. I am looking forward to it.
Well,
they say it's from the twisted mind of Eli Roth.
The twisted mind of a man who hasn't made a film in about 10 years.
Well, what about, and also it looked like Guillermo del Toro was somehow involved, either producing it Guillermo.
It's going to be interesting though, because this film's not coming out in theaters. It'll be a direct to DVD movie. If it comes out in theaters, it'll be, you know, one of those deals like Hatchet 2 was or something. It'll be in there and out in like a day or something.
You part of the Hatchet 2 army, right?
I was, yeah. I support independent shitty films like Hatchet 2.
You were a sergeant in the
You know what, though? I never did see Hatchet 3. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. I would say it's definitely, I'll be honest with you. They actually, it almost pulled it off as far as it had like a storyline and, you know, a lot of, you know, how to defeat, and it's a little subplot of how to defeat Victor Crawley and all kinds of cool stuff with Carolyn Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost decent, but I mean, it's a whole lot better than Hatchet 2.
Well, let's hope so.
Hatchet 2 was just ungodly.
Victor Crawley and Hatchet 2, it looked like somebody took a big glob of Play-Doh and made like some sort of face at his face.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it was so horrible.
Bunch of people in this, like Zach Galligan's in it. And,
I've got to see it if Zach Galligan's in it.
And I would say some of it's pretty, they have some unpredictability in the story. Some people get killed that you don't think they would. So, I mean, it's got that going for it, but.
Oddly enough, though, I always thought the best Adam Green film that I'd ever seen was Frozen.
Frozen?
Yeah, not the Disney movie, but that was not too bad either.
I thought it was Nutjob.
Another release that's coming out that a lot of people should be interested in is Criterion. They're coming out with a Blu-ray DVD combo of David Cronenberg's Scanners.
Yeah.
Actually, the 1981 film will be packaged two ways, DVD and dual format Blu-ray slash DVD. So if you just have a DVD player, you can still get in on it.
Yeah, you get on the fun of the fun.
There's a new restored 2K digital film transfer supervised by Cronenberg with uncompressed manorial soundtrack on the Blu-ray. The Scanner's Way, a new documentary, is going to be featured in that set. A new interview with actor Michael Ironside. The Epormal Diaries, a 2012 interview with actor Stephen Lack. Excerpts from a 1981 interview with Cronenberg on CBC's The Bob McLean Show. And Criterion does that shit a lot. Like, they'll purchase the rights to these old interviews and stuff from, like, TV shows from back in the day.
The Videodrome one had, like, Cronenberg and then Carpenter and someone else. To Hooper, I think.
You know something that'd be awesome. A fun series of shows? And maybe this will convince Uncle Bill to actually show a little bit more interest in the show that gave him so much over the years. And I'm not going to say what that...
fame and fortune.
I'm not going to say what that is, but people should know, you know. We should have like a Cronenberg month or something like that where we review, a Cronenberg film or two. I think that'd be fun because a lot of these films I need to revisit, like Scanners. I haven't seen Scanners in probably 10 years or longer. I honestly don't remember liking the movie that much, to be honest with you. But it'd be fun to talk about, it'd be something different to talk about. So.
Yeah, you could talk about it.
We could discuss it. not a whole lot of other news. I mean, they released, WWE Films unveiled the first poster for the upcoming reboot of, Leprechaun. Which is kind of funny because you don't see anything. It's just got Dylan Hornswoggle Postal.
His name's Dylan Postal?
Yeah. And they put like Hornswoggle in there, like, really? Just put a Hornswoggle or put
hair on Raw. It's all grown out.
Yeah, he definitely needs to go back to his old look. He just looks like a little fucking jabroni now.
What about the Oculus from WWE films? Heard anything about that?
Yeah, it actually, I don't know. I was going to go see it sometime this week. Hang on a second.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's it for the news. Don't really have a whole lot of other shit to talk about. Slow week, ain't a whole lot going on in the world of horror. I know Oculus, though. I will go see Oculus, I think, at some point, maybe sometime next week. I'll give you my feedback on it next week, Steve.
There should be a new show up if Wesley Vance puts it up.
Who's he?
I don't know. Some dude.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to your phone calls. So stay tuned to Deadbeat.
Your show is cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentucky in here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, That's WESVANCE@gmail.com, WesVance@gmail.com, or on Facebook. Private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
We're back at Dead Pit Radio. Open phone calls.
That's right. We got an open phone line, and we're going to be taking some phone calls here.
What area code is our first call from?
I don't know. We had a couple of phone calls earlier, and now, like, Skype is jacking up or something. Anything anybody wants to discuss on here, we will talk about. It doesn't have to be horror-related or whatever. Something is wrong with this Skype, man.
Oh, no.
Because I'm seeing the...
That's crazy.
Hang on.
Man. That's going to screw up the whole call-in show,
Have
right?
you seen that shit?
What shit?
Here we go. Here we go. Here's the first phone call. Howdy. You're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's your buddy John Grande.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Going pretty good. I'm just chilling. It's, spring break. I'm feeling it. You know, it's pretty awesome. But, what's going on with you guys?
Kind of doing an open line night tonight. We just went over some of the news. There's not really a whole lot of shit going on. So, anything you want to talk about, we're down.
I saw Oculus a couple days ago. Did you see that?
We were just talking about that, actually. I was wanting to see it at some point this week, but didn't get to it. Just had a real busy week. What were your thoughts on it?
To be honest with you, I think it was a different movie. It was certainly, like, I went into it thinking it was going to be something like Alexander Aja's Mirrors, which, you know, I had low expectations because that movie was a turd. But, you know, I kind of liked it. I thought it was okay. It was more along the lines of a psychological thriller. It wasn't, like, straight-up horror, in my opinion.
Okay.
But, I don't know, I think it was something different. It was better than, you know, sequel or remake or anything like that. So I think it was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, years ago, and I don't want to sound like I'm too fucking old, but it seemed like a lot of this stuff you would hear on Facebook or MySpace or whatever it was back then, I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about Oculus.
Mm-hmm. So, I haven't heard a whole bunch.
Yeah. So, I still want to check it out, though, for some reason. I mean, just the fact that it's, a horror film back in theaters, we don't really get that a whole lot anymore, so...
Yeah, absolutely. The last one I remember being in theaters was Devil's Due, and that was pretty horrible. So, you know, there's another exorcism movie or like that, something coming out over the next month, or I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
The Quiet Ones?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the Hammer movie. It looks, it might be decent. I mean, they got the guy vomiting up CG stuff in the air, but other than that, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'm so sick of the exorcism movies. Like, what was the one? It came out a couple of years ago. It was god awful. Was it the
Rite?
I think it was the second last exorcism movie.
Dominion, or what was the name of it?
I think that's what it's called.
The Beginning, Exorcist, The Beginning.
Was no, the Last Exorcism 2.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you said the Last Exorcist movie.
Yeah.
No, but some of those, like, I think time has forgot about the fucking, the other Exorcist films. Like, I guess it's just one film, but they had two different cuts of it or something.
No, they didn't like it, and they said it wasn't what they wanted, so then they... basically had him go back and hired Rennie Harlan to go back and film a bunch of new scenes to make it a different movie.
Yeah.
So his movie's more action and stuff, and then the other movie's more cerebral, like Triple H.
That's what I was going to say.
I thought the Devil Inside was really bad. Like, they can't make a good one anymore. Like they're incapable.
I go back to the old stuff, like the Italian ripoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty horrible, no doubt.
But it's fun.
It's a guilty pleasure kind of thing, but other than that, I don't know. It's not like actually good, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
What did you guys think of WrestleMania?
Go ahead, Steve.
Compared to the last couple, it was better, but the bar is so low.
Right.
It started off good with Triple H and Daniel Bryan, and then the final match, and then, of course, the big, everybody lost their shit when The Undertaker got beat. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess you could say it's memorable, but it's better than the last couple. But, like I say, the bar's kind of dropped a lot on WrestleMania.
I agree. I mean, the problem I have with it, and they kind of quit doing this after like WrestleMania 26, and it seemed like after that one, they were more or less let's have two or three matches on here, and then we'll just throw a bunch of shit in there, And
wasn't it like 60 people on WrestleMania or some crazy shit like that?
I don't know.
Because they had like the 30-man battle royal. So, it was at least a good 50 people that were on the card at WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, but, it's just like if you've got this writing team, that's supposedly working on all these storylines, can't they work on more storylines than just the two or three top fucking thing? And the tag team match, that was in the pre-show, man. You can't have a fucking... they're doing a little bit better with the tag team division, but you can't have a fucking tag team feud leading up to Mania? Why in the fuck not? I just think a lot of the stuff, they don't care anymore. They just know what's going to make them money, and they just throw all those other matches out there. Like, a prime example of that, too, is the Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws.
That was a throwaway match.
Yeah, did anybody want to see that anyway? Like, goddamn.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
That was like what was that, under 5 minutes, it felt like? It was super short and didn't mean anything at all.
Yeah. Like I was saying, though, I really wish that they would make WrestleMania special like it used to be, as far as every match has a meaning. They're just not throwing these fucking people out there like it's an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I understand that out of a respect level for, the superstars, that they try to get everybody on the card, whether it be in the pre-show or in that retarded battle royal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Until it got down to the final, five people, that was just a throwaway match, some of the guys you saw in there that you haven't seen in years, Yoshitatsu and Rod. I was like, what? Yoshitatsu is in this?
I'm not even kidding. I was watching NXT a couple weeks before WrestleMania, and he was on NXT, and he was one of those guys I completely fucking forgot about. I was like, he's still working there?
Yeah.
Because it'd been 2 years or something since he'd been on TV, I think.
What about JTG? He wasn't even on WrestleMania.
I don't know. I think JTG, he's going to have his walking papers here soon.
Yeah.
but holy shit, he's made
back in Brooklyn.
He's made enough money not doing jack shit for the last 5 years, so he should be happy.
He should be healthy.
Yeah. But, John, man, we appreciate you calling. We're going to try to take a couple more phone calls, but whenever we do these phone calls, you should definitely call back. It's always good to talk to you.
Absolutely will. Great talk to you guys, too. Be good.
Take care.
Bye.
Yep. I haven't really, after WrestleMania, though, I haven't really watched a whole lot of wrestling. I don't know why. I've been really busy, but, WWE Network and stuff, I definitely want to watch some of that stuff they've been putting out there the last week or so. I still haven't watched the Daniel Bryan documentary they put out there.
Well, that was really good. I actually stayed up later than I usually do just to watch it.
Well, it's good to get you to stay up here. We've got another phone call here, Steve. Hey, no. you're on Dead Pit with CK and the B-Plan wanting to hear from some B-Otches. What's going on?
This is Joshua Scott. I was here on the show like last year.
Cool. Well, what's going on, Josh?
Huh?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I just, I apparently am deciding to make a movie.
Cool.
What type of movie are you going to be making?
It's a remake of a horror film, John Carpenter's Halloween.
Wow.
Okay, that's quite an undertaking. Is this just going to be like a fan film, or are you going to try to actually do it, you know, in the theaters?
Well, it'll be just a fan film from now on.
Okay, I hear you.
And at my school where I live, where I'm currently holding auditions there.
Okay. Well, do you want to give out the info? Is that what you want to see if you can get more people to?
I was just wondering, like, for when I get like the film like finished and that, I was wondering if you guys can maybe review it and maybe see about interviewing me and the crew and the cast.
Yeah. Whenever you get it done, just send us. Are you going to have it up on YouTube, or what's the deal? Are you going to make a DVD for it?
I think I would most likely have it up on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to check it out, man.
Yeah, and I plan on taking the series back to its original roots.
It's interesting though, like, you know, with the Rob Zombie films that they did a few years ago. And that kind of rejuvenated the Halloween franchise in a way, but at the same time, you know, he did two films, and here we are, what is it, 6 years later after the second film, or 5 or 6 years later, and, you know, it's kind of a standstill. Nobody knows, you know, what they're going to do with the franchise. And it's, to me, I mean, you know, I don't think you could do the Halloween films like they did the Friday the 13th films, you know, do them every damn year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every 4 or 5 years, you should have a Halloween film out there on Halloween. I think that would be they should do that. I mean, Dimension or whoever the hell has the rights now. I would like to see that.
Yeah. I personally think they should go back to make a Halloween 9.
Yeah, they're probably not going to do that, though.
Yeah. I think that would please the fans more than another remake or sequel to Halloween 2.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that either. I think whenever they move forward with another Halloween, it'll be another reboot. You know, that seems to be how they go about doing things.
It has to be. I mean, there's just nowhere to go with what they did, what Rob Zombie did in Part 2, in my opinion.
Yeah. I heard they're coming out with a new Halloween film next year.
I know there's rumors, but I don't know, man. I mean, where would you go with it? I mean, would you do a complete reboot, or if you wanted to do Halloween 9, how would you tell the story?
I would personally go back and make a Halloween 9, and I would like maybe see about combining the two different timeline continuities within the franchise.
Right.
Which is the Thorn trilogy and the H2O series.
Okay.
And then have them kill off Michael Myers for good.
Well, you're not going to kill off Michael Myers for good now. Come on. He's going to be one of those characters that will be around forever.
Yeah.
I'll probably have it as a, this, you know, just have it based on urban legend. And that way you really don't have to kind of, you could just make your own part of it instead of having to really stick to whatever's come before.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Well, we appreciate you calling, man. Whenever you get that film done, just let us know, and we will take a look at it for you, buddy.
Yeah, and I will send you a copy of the film, like, through, like, video file.
Sure. And yeah, me and Steve will both watch it. Guarantee it.
Thanks.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Okay. Bye. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, any independent filmmakers that are, Steve loves watching shit. You know, he's got, I was looking through because we got our Plex account kind of merged together, right?
Yeah.
And, man, you got some fucking weird shit on there, Steve. I'm just going to say that.
So what?
Well, people are
strange.
That's
what I like.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
Stranger, yeah.
Yeah.
Echo and the Bunny Man.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got another phone call coming in. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with CK and the B-Plan. Who's this?
Hey, this is Cameron.
Hey, Cameron, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from
good.
You.
Good, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Just getting some asshole prank callers calling in here, but we'll delete them from the show anyway, so that's how it works. Ain't that right, Steve?
I'd rather hear them on the show.
Yeah, because they're not making fun of you, man. They're making fun of me.
Oh. Well, they don't know who the fuck I am, so I'm all right.
That's true. But how's it going, man? What do you want to talk about?
Well, there's so much to talk about. I mean, I know Dead Pit is primarily a horror thing, but besides this reboot of the reboot of Friday the 13th, I'm really interested in getting your viewpoints on what do you think is going to happen with this whole Bryan Singer thing and X-Men coming out soon.
I've seen posts on Facebook about it. I haven't read any details, but I know TMZ reported it. Some sort of sexual, like, what is it, child? Give me the story.
They took him to a party, and he blew the boy and then forced the boy to blow him. That's what the story is.
And this was supposedly something that happened years ago. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 2000 or 9 years ago.
So this was
like that.
Yeah, right when the X-Men shit was coming out, like the first
and
X-Men.
And also right after the accusations from when he was making At Pupil, and he had gotten in trouble for accidentally filming underage boys in the shower for a scene.
Oh, God.
See, I didn't even know he was gay.
I didn't know either. I mean, I didn't really. I'm not that familiar with Bryan Singer's films, but you know, if this is true, all this stuff comes to be or whatever, I'd say it's the end of his career for sure,
yeah,
and he's probably going to jail.
How are they going to prove any of that shit this 10 years down the road?
That's true.
Honestly. I mean, I don't see how they get this one guy's word against another. I mean, I don't know what kind of evidence this guy's got that he actually something happened. So, to me, it's just somebody trying to probably still come out and try. It's somebody trying to make some money, basically. Now, whether it's true or not, who knows? But I just don't see a way of proving something like that, unless he's got a fucking picture of his dick and his dick's got like the tattoo on it of something that. You know, I don't know what the hell you can do.
It is weird timing. I mean, why would you wait so long, you know,
right.
14 years later, whatever it is? I don't get I mean, what are your thoughts on it, Cameron?
Well, obviously, I think there is some monetary gain here because, he didn't come out after him when he made that Jack the Giant Slayer movie. You know, it's only over the X-Men movie coming out.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know. I didn't even know there was a new X-Men movie coming out, to be honest with you. Is it like a full-blown X-Men movie? Is it another one of those Wolverine fucking movies or whatever it is?
No, it's a full-blown in which they're taking the cast from both series, the last one that came out, and and the original cast, and they're putting them all basically into one big movie. Who knows if it's going to be too convoluted or what? But it's just so funny that this is coming out 4 weeks before the movie opens, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, people forgive a lot with Hollywood, but are people going? If this is possibly true, will this affect the box office to the point that it tanks?
No. I don't think so. I think like comic book nerds and people, you know, and not putting them down or anything, but just, you know, people that love that sort of thing, they don't care.
Right.
They're going to go fucking see it. It doesn't matter who directs it. It'll still be a big moneymaker, I think.
sir. And one more thing, CK. I'm so angry you got me hooked on that Cinema Sickness guy.
Oh, God. It is like it's like a train wreck, kind of, is what it is. You know, everybody wants to see how bad it is. It is. You know, and he posts pictures on Instagram of like his play, like his backup players. Like he's got like 10 HD DVD players, 5 LaserDisc players, 4 CD players, and a partridge in a pear tree or whatever, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. And honestly, man, it truly was him where I was like, look, I mean, I don't want to be as bad as, I don't want to get to that level, you know. And, I mean, he kind of like, I don't know, I've kind of backed away from buying every release or a lot of the releases I was buying, you know, because of him.
But at least the purchases you were making, though, like, made sense. You didn't, like, get your jollies off because you got a Care Bear video from Beta. Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. I'm not at that level. Hopefully I'll never get to that level. But the thing is, you know, he buys all this stuff, like 80 or 90 different movies a week. How much can you watch? I mean, it, you know, you've got a whole basement full of just movies. And how many of those are never going to get watched? I'm willing to bet quite a large percentage of those, he's never going to watch them. And the thing with me is, in watching a movie, and I've noticed this over the years, and it helped me, you know, in my sickness, my personal sickness. you're going to watch a movie, and it's going to be 5 or 6 years down the line before you ever want to watch it again. You know, and you've spent $20-$25 on these Blu-rays or whatever they are now. And it really, you know, I mean, if you're a fan of the movie, in particular the movie, you're going to watch it over and over again, that's fine. But, you know, you don't really need the Care Bears on VHS, you know.
But CK, you are a huge advocate for the voodoo whole thing. So what's your replay value on those? I mean, because I know you got a whole, like, library now. I mean, do you rewatch stuff a lot, or do you just like having it, knowing that you have it there in your collection?
The thing with the Voodoo is, for new releases mainly, and I'm starting to get a lot of back catalog, you know, old stuff, it's just that it's movies that I like that at some point in time I want to watch, and they're costing me $1 to put them on there. So that rather than, you know, and I'll rent a movie, or, you know, I've got a couple people connected with my Voodoo account. They'll rent a movie and they'll put it on there. Or, you know, we'll go to the video store, pawn shop, or whatever, and get it. I can get DVDs at the pawn shop for $1. And if it's something I want, I can have the HD version for $2 rather than going out and spending $15 to $25 on a Blu-ray. You know, and a lot of the stuff, you know, it's, I've got a collection, but it's not sitting around collecting dust, taking up room. See what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about, you know, running out of space, which was definitely a problem for me, you know. And it's a problem for a lot of people that's collecting, you know, physical copies. And I have nothing. You know, if you like collecting physical copies, I get it, because you have the artwork, you get to look, you know, and you have the physical disc. And a lot of people saying, what if someday the internet doesn't exist, you know? I'm like, well, what if someday your house catches on fire, motherfucker? You ain't going to have a goddamn movie, you know? So, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of my preference now to get it on the digital Voodoo copy instead of just throwing down, you know, $20 on a new release.
I know you were selling a bunch of your stuff. Did you make enough to get the truck you wanted?
The thing about the truck, man, I haven't talked about the truck on here. I didn't get the truck. I'm probably not going to get that particular truck. It was a 2012 Ford Raptor. And the more I thought about it, you know, it was like a $42,000 truck. And it had 77,000 miles on it.
What?
Yeah. And those trucks new are like $65,000, Steve. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean,
well, that's stupid.
Yeah, they're fucking expensive. But, oh, my God, man. This is an awesome fucking truck. But at the end of the day, it's too much money to spend on a fucking vehicle. You know, especially one that already has close to 100,000 miles on it.
You can get you a brand new trailer for $42,000.
That's true. I could get a double wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be the king of my double wide trailer. Well, Cameron, is there anything else you want to mention on here or talk about?
No, I'm just a huge fan of Dead Pit, huge fan of yours, DK, huge fan of yours, B-Plan. I'm Facebook friends with both you guys, and just, you know, keep rocking the show because I'm a huge fan. And CK, I've contacted you a few times, but when you get your Dead Pit, you know, you wanted to, like, start having other podcasts maybe coming in and helping out Dead Pit branch out. I'm still wanting to help out with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the thing with me lately, man, is I've just been kind of worn ragged, you know. Got a lot of stuff with work going on, and a lot of people are asking about the Dead Pit Premium thing, too. When is that going to, or if that's going to happen? I really don't know. But, I mean, any other projects, anything you want to throw my way as far as, you know, ideas and stuff like that, I'm open ears for sure. Because we've been doing this so damn long, man. I mean, I've a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do, we've already done.
Right.
You know, there's a few...
You guys have interviewed pretty much everybody that you could even conceive of wanting to interview, at least.
Yeah, there's probably a couple more, like Wes Craven. I'd love to interview Wes Craven, but he's got too much money. He don't really give a fuck. I don't think he's going to do an interview, but you never know. I mean, maybe at some point we'll get him, maybe Toby Hooper, but you know, a lot of the guys we've already got.
On that point, CK, you know what's really interesting? And this is something I'm going to throw your way, and then I'll get off the phone because I know a lot of people want to call in. But one thing I've noticed, and I don't go to horror conventions anymore, but I used to go. I went for like 10 years straight, and then they stopped doing them, at least the ones that I went to out here. But one thing I really have noticed, and I know you guys have talked about conventions a lot, but is that people like Wes Craven and John Carpenter, Toby Hooper, those, and Romero, those kind of guys, are always like super duper nice, you know, to most of their fans. And I think it's because, you know, they had to really work to be noticed, to get their film shown in drive-ins, that type of thing. Whereas the new guys coming in who have made, like, one direct-to-DVD film are, like, assholes to you, you know? And I find it really interesting because you would think the new guys coming in would be wanting to be, super nice to everybody, and the old guys would be like, ah, screw you, I've made my money. But it's really the other way around.
Well, I mean, depending on who you talk to, a lot of people would say that Carpenter's kind of an asshole to his fans. I mean, I don't know which young, I mean, I don't know if you want to name names, which young filmmakers, I mean, are you talking about? Do you want to name names or?
Well, no, honestly, they're people that haven't gone anywhere in their career, but they just have this aura about them, especially like in Los Angeles and, you know, where it's like, you know, don't talk to me, you know, I've made a film. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, people have made like 25, 30 films, and George Romero will talk your ear off all afternoon.
You're talking about the independent filmmakers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I think a lot of the independent filmmakers, at least the ones that, you know, we don't really review independent film. We don't review movies that much anymore, but independent films in particular, because they don't, the filmmakers themselves, the directors, it doesn't seem like to me they want to be reviewed or critiqued in any way, you know.
They want the quote for their box, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the guys do, like, you know, Fred Vogel. I think that he's open to criticism, and we talked to him about that when we interviewed him years ago. And he's not like that, but a lot of the guys, you know, we've come across them quite a bit when Fright Night Film Fest was real big and stuff like that. They don't, you know, and I've been friends with a few of them. They, when it comes to their films, and I can see in a way, I mean, they've invested a lot in those films, but at the same time, you got to be open to criticism and be willing to say, like, hey, you might have a point there. Maybe there's some things I could do, and not have that snotty fucking attitude. I mean, I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there's definitely a few of them that have the shit don't stink attitude towards the fans.
True. How about you, B-Plan? What do you think about that?
Maybe just people get big head. I mean, to be honest, I haven't run across anybody that really thought that their shit didn't stink doing independent films. I've met a few people at different conventions, and everybody's been cool. So I haven't run across any of the, you know, the big heads yet. So
it's very persistent in Los Angeles. Let me tell you.
Well, that might be that location too. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys probably different than a lot of other convention, you know, filmmakers that we come across, because, you know, they've evidently made quite of an investment to move out there and try to have a career in films. And a lot of these guys that we see, like, we'll say, you know, I don't want to name a guy's name, but anybody that lives in Kentucky will know this guy. I mean, he distributes his own films. He puts them in record stores and stuff like that. And his fucking independent films, man, I'm not even kidding. They're like two and a half hours long. And nobody's a trained actor in these movies. They're all local, like friends, and they, I guess they say they're actors, but none of them, you know, they're horrible. They're fucking horrible. And this guy's a prime example of, hey, my film's great. All these guys, and he's got all these guys, like, that he works with that constantly kisses his ass, you know, and it took me a while to figure that out, you know, like, how does, you know, I've talked to a couple of friends of mine that worked with him, and, you know, there was a shot. He one of my friends of mine played a cop in the movie, and there's like a shot of him pulling in and opening the car door and pulling his gun. He had to do that shot all fucking day. Like, he was trying to film that shot all day long because he wanted to get it perfect, you know. And I'm like, God damn, I'd be so fucking mad. But
he's
one good example. But anyway, man, just all
right.
If you want to message me though and give me some ideas and stuff like that, we will definitely, because I'm all ears, like I was saying.
I mean, I know you've been trying to get away from the horror stuff for a while, so, you know, we'll talk about different things. But anyway, thank you everybody, or thank you guys for taking my call, and I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
So, I don't know. I haven't looked and seen if we've had any more calls recently. But the thing is, getting back to the independent film thing, you know, I guess I can kind of understand how some of these guys would want to be, I guess, so into these films because they put so much into them. A lot of these filmmakers, I mean, they kind of invest years. A lot of them do. You know, some of these films take 2 or 3 years. So after a while, when we were doing reviews and stuff, I kind of was like, we're going to try to be a little nicer when it comes to some of these films. But we see some of them, like, you know, some of that shit John R. Hand did.
John R. Hand.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just, you know, somebody trying to be an art house filmmaker. So. Yeah, that's how it goes. But we had Cameron Leonard quite a while. So I don't know if we're going to have any more phone calls, Steve. You've got to get going here in a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I got to go pick up the old lady.
Yeah, working hard at the Fayette County Public Library?
Flo's Diner.
Oh. So, we'll wait around and see if anybody else calls here for just a little bit if you want to.
Wait a few minutes.
Yeah. I didn't really get to push the phone calls like I wanted to, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
It be that way sometimes.
It is. I mean, I had a rough week, Steve. Like, I had to go back and forth, Pike County, Floyd County, 3 days this week so far.
Well, I got to watch movies all day at work.
Well, you have a rough existence.
I know. It's pretty bad. Pretty hard work there.
You know something that we should do, though, Steve, and somebody mentioned this on here on Facebook. We should review more movies on Dead Pit.
Yeah.
So, we should come up with at least one or two for next week and talk about it. Because I think I do miss – I haven't watched a horror movie in a while, to be honest. Last movie I watched was That Schwarzenegger movie that just came
Sabotage.
Out. Sabotage. Yeah, that was pretty good. I kind of enjoyed it.
I don't know. I'm going to try to watch a few movies this weekend at Dana's. Watching, what's that, the Fulci movie? I haven't seen it in a while. It's Demonia.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, I don't know. I can't. I know it's probably not.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was one of the
before,
that
so
was one of the later
great.
Movies that he did, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, there's certain movies that you know. I'm not saying they're second tier, but you know, he made some really bad stuff. That's bad, but there's other stuff that's worse.
Yeah, like, what is it? Door into Silence or whatever the fuck it was.
I don't know. I don't even have that. That what was that fucking movie we bought and Beyond.
Yeah, that was another one. I heard that was horrible, too.
It's hilarious,
I just bought
dude.
That, I just bought that shit to resell it, though.
I had the DVD, so, and I watched it. I was like, holy crap. It was hilarious. It was pretty entertaining, but not for the right reasons. But, hey. Yeah. I can't think of any movies offhand. I'm going to try to watch a movie tonight. It's a Japanese exploitation about... World War II concentration camps called The Men Behind the Sun.
Are you really a skinhead, though, Steve, in real life?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you admitted it, man, because like, you always watch that shit. Like, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, man.
I watch everything, dude.
I love African Americans, so I could never watch stuff like that.
I do. I watch all kinds of stuff, dude. African Americans, this is about Japanese. And prisoners.
Well, I like Japanese people. I'm a big fan of hibachi grills and shit like that.
I am too. I like sushi.
I don't really like sushi that much. You gotta put a lot of that yum yum sauce on there before I like sushi.
Yum yum? You know, I never heard of yum yum sauce on sushi.
It's like it's good. Dip it in there or dip that in soy sauce
soy sauce.
Yum yum sauce.
Put some wasabi on it and light your fire up, Bulls.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
You had some wasabi before?
Yeah. It's kind of hot, but I mean, as long as you don't eat a whole lot of it, ain't that bad.
It'll just, like, knock you out for about 3-4 seconds and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Speaking of being knocked out, I'm probably going to drink me some SoCo 100 tonight in celebration of the fan pit returning.
Oh. Well, I'll have a couple of juice. We're in celebration.
You have some gin and juice, you said?
No, just juice.
All right, guys, I think that's it.
On a high note.
I don't see anybody else calling in. So, and I actually threw the idea out there for Uncle Bill to call in.
Wow.
And the
what
fucking
could he be doing? It's more important.
And
than
the fucking
this.
Cock gobbler wouldn't call in. Hey, do you want to try to call him? You got about 5 more minutes.
If you want.
I can be like, hey, Uncle Bill, you piece of trash.
If he has his voicemail, that'd be the best.
I'm sure it'll be his voicemail. He never.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll lay into
he never answers anything.
He's too busy with stuff.
Hang on here. We're going to. Let's see. Add to group call.
If he doesn't call in for the next fan pit, we're going to give out his cell number.
We could. It's ringing. It's ringing at least. He's got his phone on.
Wow. How gay is his answering?
I think it's just the machine. It's just
your
the.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 6-0-6-2-2-6-2.
You're going to bleep that out.
Is not available.
No, I'm not even going to bleep it out.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
All right, you start cussing him out, and then I'll cuss him out. Yeah.
You dumb son of a bitch!
Look here, motherfucker. I thought you said he was going to take more of an interest in Dead Pit. And quit being such a fucking pussy hiding over in Martin.
Martin, what a douchebag place.
Yeah, he lives in a place called Cracker Bottom, Steve. I'm not even fucking kidding.
Now, he wants to crack his bottom.
With a dick.
With 400 dicks.
Yeah. You know his favorite movie was 400 Blows.
Blows, yeah.
Yeah, did you know that?
He wishes he was that kid that sucked off Bryan Singer.
Maybe he was that kid.
Yeah.
Because back
blew
him
and he blew you.
Yeah, back when Uncle Bill was 20, he looked 10. So
10 will get you 20.
Yeah. So, fuck you, Uncle Bill. Go shit on a dick.
Fall on a dick.
There we go. That'd be a good voicemail for that little piece of shit. Anyway, that is it for the show. We will be back next week, and we might have some reviews for you guys.
Yeah.
And next time we'll do the fan pit, Steve, what do we think about doing it every other week? That way it seems a little more regular, you know, and people will know when we're doing it and all that shit.
Sure.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm
so,
for it.
Anyway, Creepy Kentucky.
V-Plan.
We will be back next week on the original Horror Talk Radio Show, brought to you by DeadPit.com. Fuck you, brother.
To play.